Could it be a recovery from the ash?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. More flights are taking off in Europe this morning as that cloud of volcanic ash from Iceland becomes less of a threat. But now the question of who pays looms on the horizon. From London, Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
The skies are now open over Scotland, Belgium, the Netherlands and Sweden. Other countries like France and Germany are planning a phased reopening later today. But the London airports remain closed. Another cloud of ash is said to be headed towards England. The cost to the airlines has been stratospheric. $1.5 billion, according to Giovanni Bisignani, head of the main aviation trade body. He claims that closing a wide swathe of North European airspace was an overreaction, based purely on computer modelling.
Europe was using a theoretical mathematical approach. That is not what we need. We needed some tests. We needed some test flights, go in the atmosphere, assess the level of ashes and take decisions.
11 British airlines have now demanded compensation from the UK government. Lawyers forecast a raft of lawsuits from airlines and companies that depend on air travel to move their goods. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Looks like General Motors will pay off what it owes on a multi-billion dollar government loan. Reports are its CEO, Ed Whitaker, will announce sometime tomorrow. The automaker will pay back the $4.7 billion that it still owes. But taxpayers, stock owners, will still own 60% of the company, even after the payback. Japanese car maker Nissan starts taking orders today for its all-new electric vehicle called the Leaf. It could be the beginning of a new era for plug-in vehicles, but as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, there could still be a few roadblocks.
The Nissan Leaf doesn't look like some space-age vision of the future. Philip Reed is an editor at the car buying list, Edmunds.com. He says it looks like any small four-door car.
It's the first time that we've been offered a vehicle which could fit into the practicality of the average American family.
He says the Leaf is the first electric car that's big enough and cheap enough to be used by a family. It'll end up costing a little more than $20,000, so it can compete against other compact cars like the Honda Civic. But it could still take a while before there's a Leaf in every driveway. Kelly Sims Gallagher is a professor of energy and environmental policy at Tufts University. She says Nissan's up against two big challenges.
Do we have the appropriate infrastructure for charging and grid, and are consumers willing to make these changes in their behavior?
The Leaf can only drive 100 miles before it needs to be recharged, so drivers will have to figure out where they can plug in. Gallagher says cars like the Leaf could also put too much strain on old electricity grids. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher at the moment, about 0.5%. Asian shares were mostly higher today as well, although the Nikkei was flat. The Hang Seng added some. A mixed day on Wall Street yesterday, but the Dow added 73 points to close at 11,092. IBM stock a likely mover today after the company said first quarter profits climbed 13% over last year. And oil prices are back above $82 a barrel today. The fraud case against Goldman and those flight disruptions in Europe triggered a two-day plunge.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering a financial literacy program to help families navigate their finances. Details at massmutual.com/familyfinances. And by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market.
If you've been to the Grand Canyon, chances are you've passed through Tucson, Arizona. It's a small town just to the south. It only has about 500 people. So why did Italian investors just spend a bundle trying to influence an election there? Claudine LaMonaco checked it out.
Tucson is a half-mile strip of highway lined by hotels nestled in ponderosa pine forest. But it has one very big thing going for it. It's just a mile from the entrance to Grand Canyon National Park. Tourists spend millions of dollars every year on everything from helicopter tours to pancake breakfasts. Tucson's economy depends on that money, but some want to bring in even more.
Retail services, a sidewalk cafe, a piazza.
You heard right, a piazza. That's Thomas DiPaolo. He represents a group of Italian developers who own a lot of land in the area. In years past, they've proposed building an outlet mall and a 5,000-room resort. While some worried the plan would commercialize the Grand Canyon, others worried about increased competition. Clorinda Vale owns the Red Feather Lodge.
Can that, you know, many more rooms come on the market in the area and not, you know, put hotels out of business?
10 years ago, Vale rallied voters in Coconino County to reject the plan, but the developers didn't give up. They launched a campaign to incorporate the community of Tucson as its own town, with its own town council. That way, they'd only have to persuade 5 council members to approve their plans, not an entire county. Here's one of the group's highly produced videos.
Tucson can do better.
We just need to believe in ourselves.
My dream for Tucson? A town that's strong and independent.
The Italian developers spent more than $300,000 to persuade about 200 voters, and they won. Last month, Tucson officially became Arizona's tiniest town. But the designation has been challenged. Those against have filed a lawsuit charging voter fraud. I'm Claudine LaMonaco for Marketplace.
And finally, Australian college professor Steve Keen is now on a 140-mile trek to the top of that country's highest peak, Mount Kosciuszko. At the height of the financial crisis, Keen predicted house prices down under would fall as much as 40%. But an interest rate strategist said a collapse would never happen, and they bet on it. Home prices did fall, but not to levels seen here in the United States. By the way, Professor Keen's not only climbing that mountain right now, he's wearing a T-shirt that says, I was hopelessly wrong on house prices. That'll teach him. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.